إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our sixth session reading from Minhaj Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal. Yani the methodology of Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning creed and actions by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Tonight, we're going to go to the second point that the Shaykh mentions in this brief essay, which is related to al-ibadah. But before we do that, we want to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week related to the sifat of Allah, yani the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the sifat, the characteristics, descriptions or qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, question is study guide number 5 from last week. The first question mentioned other examples of sifat, characteristics of Allah which are not directly indicated in any of His names. Yani the Shaykh had mentioned the sifa of istiwa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascended above His throne, and he said this is a sifa for which there is no name derived from it. Yani that we describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as yani having being described with this description, istawa ala al-arsh, but we don't say that He has a name, yani the one who ascended, the one who rose high, al-mustawi. And then, so the question here is mention other examples of sifat that are like this, that there is no name derived from them. Naam. One. Naam. An-nuzul. Naam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, yani in the last third of the night to as-sama' ad-dunya, but Allah doesn't have any name that's derived from this description of descending. Yani we don't say that He is what? An-nazil. Naam. Another example. Another example. Naam. Abdul Haq.
Al-Maji.
Al-Maji.
Coming.
Naam.
Waja'a
Rabbuk. Naam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself, yani with this description of coming. But we don't say that there is a name of Allah that is derived from this description. Yani we don't say that Allah's name is? Be careful. Al-Ja'i. We don't say that. This is one of the names of Allah. Naam. Any other example? Any other example? Somebody else? Anybody else? Naam. Fadl.
Similarly,
Ityan. Ityan. Yani coming. Naam.
And also,
Akh. Huh? Al-Akh. Naam. Yani that Allah is described in the Quran as He describes Himself as being what? فَأَخَذَ رَبُّكَ فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذْنُوبِهِمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken them, yani taken hold of them to punish them for their sins. But we don't say that Allah is Al-Akhidh, yani the one who, this is not a name of Allah. So, any, there are many descriptions, huh? Imsak, and so on. So, any, the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described Him with descriptions that we confirm for Allah. We describe Him with them. We, yani, can inform others about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on these descriptions, but we don't name Him with names based upon them. We believe in these descriptions and we affirm them, but we don't say that, yani, names of Allah derived from them. Second question, discuss the difference between the istiwa of a human being upon a camel or a chair, yani the rising of a human being upon a camel or a chair, and the istiwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His arsh. Ya Mustafa.
For a human being,
no.
When a human that ascends, just like to a camel,
uh-huh,
whatever, That person is usually in need of that.
Okay, the ascending of the human being, getting up on the camel, is an ascension of the one who is in need of the thing that he is ascending upon, that he is climbing upon. Naam. And the istiwa of Allah, somebody else? Yani, his istiwa is in a manner that is befitting of his greatness and his glory and his majesty. Naam. Naam, yani that the istiwa of Allah is not like the istiwa of the human being, is the istiwa of the one who is in need. Muftaqir. He is in need of the thing that he has ascended upon. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything. Rather, everything in the creation is in need of Allah. How do we distinguish the sifa of Allah from sifat of the created beings when we affirm these sifat for Allah? Yani, what is the distinction that we have to make if we affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a description like istiwa, ascending, or nuzul, descending, or that, for example, Allah has a face and created beings have face? How do we distinguish when we affirm these sifat for Allah? How do we distinguish them from the sifat of the human beings? Naam, Shuaib. Yeah, we say that we describe Allah with the sifa, but we say in a way, right, that is befitting of Him. Naam, what else? Naam. According to its reality and its apparent meaning. Naam. Anything else? Without yani? Without haq?
Without distortion, without...
Without distorting its meaning or yani comparing. Comparing, without comparing it to the descriptions of the human being that are referred to by the same expressions. Now.
Naam.
Wahuwa, last, I didn't hear the last thing you said. Wahuwa?
Muftakhirun.
Khayr. Yani, the sifat of Allah are all sifat of perfection. Whereas the sifat of the human beings, obviously, are not. So, the important thing here is that we affirm the sifat of Allah that He has affirmed for Himself, that He has described Himself with, or that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has described Him with. However, we yani affirm that description, that it is in a manner, in a way that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, befitting of His majesty, His greatness, His glory, without any comparison to the descriptions of the created beings. Question number 4. Discuss that extremely dangerous matter which the author rahimahullah says shaitan places in the hearts of people concerning the sifat of Allah. Yani, what is the shaykh referring to when he said, who's that back there? Umar. Now.
Once we start describing Allah with sifat that is not confirmed in the Quran or by His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Sunnah, shaitan found it easier to push it towards speaking about Allah without knowledge.
Speaking about Allah without knowledge. Okay, I mean, that is in the area of what the Shaykh said, but it's specifically exactly he said, Yani Musa?
The imagination of that shaitan puts in
people. A takhayyul. That the dangerous matter that the Shaykh is talking about is the imagination, using the imagination, trying to imagine how are the sifat of Allah. Trying to imagine
how
is Allah's sifat, Yani exactly how are they. Naam. Or Allah is that, naam. Yani the takhayyul, yani trying to imagine this. Trying to, yani specifically, yani give some kind of description of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat are. Yani this is the dangerous thing that the Shaykh says shaitan tries to place in the hearts of the human being in order them to fall into, yani danger, in order them to fall into error, in order for them to fall into that which would lead them astray and cause their destruction. And this is the next question, number 5, mentioned the 2 prohibited areas which you will inevitably fall into if you open your heart to this trap of shaitan. What are the 2 areas that the Shaykh said? If a person begins to try to imagine how the sifat of Allah, they will fall into 2 dangerous affairs. Now, Ibrahim. Tahrif wa ta'atil, that's one area. Or tamthil, or tashbih is the other one. He said that whoever tries to imagine the sifat of Allah, how are they? then it's inevitable that they must fall into one of these dangerous areas. Either tahrif and ta'atil, meaning they begin to distort the meaning of the names of Allah and yani deny them, or tashbih, tamthil with tashbih, yani like this. Now the Shaykh said, whoever yani falls into this trap of shaitan, then these are the areas of danger that they inevitably will fall into. The next question is, briefly define each of the above mentioned terms. Yani the Shaykh mentioned four terms, and there are other terms that the scholars mentioned in reference to this, but he mentioned four of them. The first of them, the first one that he mentioned is what?
Tahrif,
which means distortion. Yani distortion, distorting, corrupting the meanings of the descriptions of Allah. And the second one is ta'atil, and that ta'atil means
denial,
yani to denial, to reject, to negate, yani the meanings that are the apparent real meanings of these expressions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with in clear Arabic language. To deny them. Yani literally ta'atil means to empty them of their meaning. To empty them of their meaning such that yani even if you affirm the expression but without any meaning. So that's ta'atil. Yani deny it. It's outright denial. And the third expression in the order that the Shaykh mentioned them, he mentioned
tamthil.
Tamthil. And tamthil is what?
Lightning into the creation.
Tamthil literally means to make an example. To make examples. Yani to use examples. For example, Allah, yani making an example to say that Allah is something like this. Yani by examples. By examples. Naam.
And the Shaykh was, making a difference with the tashbih.
Before that. Tashbih means what? Yani what is the meaning of tashbih? To make resemblance or similarity, yani to compare, to make a comparison between something and something else, saying that they resemble, that they are similar, yani making a resemblance. And then Naam, the Shaykh made a distinction between tamthil and tashbih.
Tamthil is like making example with exact similarities.
With exact similarities, yani in every way, yani that the sifat, all of them, yani all of the sifat are the same, Naam, are equal. Yani where the characteristics or the resemblance is in most of its characteristics or qualities, but not all of them. Yani akthar sifat. Naam. So that tashbih and tamthil sometimes are used interchangeably, and their meaning is almost the same, but the Shaykh is saying there is some slight difference, and that tamthil is the more exact, yani comparison, yani that they are exact in every way. And this is the expression that Allah uses in the Quran as well. After this, question number 7, memorize the ayat used by the author to show the prohibition of imagining a sifa of Allah to be in a specific manner. Yani, ala kayfiyya mu'ayyina. Yani, what is the ayat that the Shaykh uses? Yani, to show the prohibition of trying to describe Allah, yani, ala, yani, kayfiyya mu'ayyina, specific manner. Naam, Ibrahim. Surah Al-Isra. Israf?
Isra.
Naam. Meaning?
Do not
speak about, do not act upon that which you have no knowledge of. That which you have no knowledge of. So this is, yani if, meaning that if a person tries to describe Allah in a specific manner, and nobody knows the specifics of it, then that means the person has fallen into what? Speaking about Allah without knowledge. Yani a following of speaking about that which you really have no knowledge of.
والفؤاد.
نعم. جزاك الله خير. Question number 8. Memorize the ayat used to show the prohibition of imagining a sifa of Allah to be like something in the creation. Yani, to be like something in the creation. Which ayat the Shaykh used to show this prohibition? Naam. Yeah, Omar. Meaning?
There's nothing like unto Allah.
There's nothing like unto him.
And he is all hearing and all seeing.
While he is the all hearing and the all seeing. But nonetheless, if there are created beings that hear or see, yani there's no resemblance, there's no likeness between these characteristics as they are ascribed to Allah in comparison to those characteristics as they are any descriptions of the human being. Now this is mentioned in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayah. And the last question, explain the author's statement, Rahimahullah, every mu'attil wa munkir lis-sifat is a mumathil whose tamthil preceded his ta'atil. What is the meaning of this statement? Yani literally, and then yani maybe some clarification. Naam, ya Ibrahim.
That the world started to ta'atil corruption. They first had to imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characteristics and compare them to the creation, or either his characteristics or his being. Therefore, they thought that this was not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So either they changed the meaning of them or they emptied the meanings of characteristics.
Fayyib. That's the meaning of what is intended. What's the exact translation of what of the statement of the Shaykh? Somebody translate for me the meaning of the Shaykh, his statement. Every, يعني كل معتل ومنكر للصفات. كل معتل ومنكر للصفات. What is the meaning? Now. نعم, that's at the end of the statement. But before that, what is the literal meaning of كل معتل ومنكر للصفات? What is the meaning of it?
Every
معتل, every person who denies and منكر rejects the sifat. Every person who denies and rejects the sifat
is indeed
a mumathil whose tamthil, yani huwa mumathil, yani whose tamthil preceded his ta'atil. What does it mean of huwa mumathil, yani whose tamthil preceded his ta'atil?
No, indeed it's somebody who making him send that to Allah. And actually,
the one who did tamthil, yeah.
And actually, he. It's tamthil, that means the giving resemblance to Allah preceded his denial.
Okay, so the Shaykh is saying that every mu'attil and every munkir of the sifat, he is a mumathil. And he is also a mumathil. And his tamthil preceded his ta'atil. Before he became a mu'attil, he was mumathil first. As Ibrahim explained when before in the beginning of the answer of, the, of this question, he said that yani he did tamthil, which caused him to then yani change the meaning, deny the meaning, and so on, to become mu'attil or munkar. Yani first he did tamthil. He did tamthil, why? Because he tried to imagine how was the sifat of Allah. This caused him to make examples or to give some comparisons, and then that led him to the ta'atil, to the tahrif, to the inkar. Naam. And then at the end of it, before that, he mentioned the end of the Shaykh said that first he was mumathil awalan and then he was mu'attil thaniyan. Yani first he did tamthil and then he did ta'atil, and that yani last statement actually is a little bit more easier to follow than the beginning of the statement. Now, but still we have to understand, yani we have to understand the words. Yani,
the individual who came to this corruption, he did it saying that it was a befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not like he just came and said, I want to deny the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Naam.
He tried to imagine them, therefore his own Aqla said, this can't be the beginning of Allah, therefore he entered the means of the death.
Okay, so in other words, you're saying that the person, he didn't come out in the beginning trying to deny the sifat of Allah. But he started out yani, by getting off track, trying to imagine, and this caused him to fall into the error that he fell into. Naam. Naam. So this is a warning, Naam, that the Shaykh is saying, avoid this matter, so because inevitably it will cause you to fall into some danger. Naam. Okay, tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to try to take the second topic of the 7 points that the Shaykh mentions in his essay. The first of being the clarification of the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah concerning the Asma of Allah and His Sifat. And the second one, it is the tariqah to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah fi ibadatillah. This is also a very, very important topic, yani, that follows logically the topic that the Shaykh started with. That is, believing in Allah, the Tawheed of Allah. Specifically, the Asma wa Sifat being the aspect of Tawheed that most people are not, yani, familiar with or knowledgeable of. So the Shaykh began with the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he begins the next topic, Yani, which is the natural yani follow-up of it, that is how to realize, how to implement the Tawheed of Allah, and that is by worshipping Him alone. Yani, the Tawheed of Rububi and Asma wa Sifat inevitably, consequentially leads to the Tawheed of Ubudiyya. So the Shaykh begins with the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, including Rububiyya. And then as a result of that, the argument of many of the Prophets to their people was, if you believe that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth, then how do you not worship Him? How do you worship other than Him? So the Shaykh began with the first topic of what? The Tawheed of Allah. And now he begins with, how do you implement that Tawheed of Allah? How do you realize the concept of Tawheed in real life? It is by worshipping Allah alone. So the Shaykh, he gives us the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah concerning Ibadah, three essential elements, considerations, yani vital points that a person has to look at in terms of the Ibadah of Allah. And then he looks at yani the people who deviated from that, who got off track, and what was the concept, what that led them to. So in this point, the second point yani that the Shaykh mentions here is the critical topic of Ibadah. What is the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah? And what is the deviation of the people who didn't follow the way of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah? And what it led them to, and what are the consequences, and how do we clarify the issue for them and refute their arguments? That's what he talks about in this point. It's a very important second point, very, very important, critical, that we understand the arguments that the Shaykh has brought here, after the elements that are necessary for the Ibadah of Allah, understand the arguments of the people who deviated. And there are many arguments. The Shaykh has given a few arguments in this topic here. It's critical for us to comprehend them well. Maybe to memorize the points of the arguments, so that we can clarify for the people who have deviated in the worship of Allah, even though they claim that they are Muslims. And all Muslims say they believe in Tawheed. But the actualization of the Tawheed is what's absent in most of the world today. And I say most, I believe that it's actually most. That the people who are worshipping Allah alone, according to the real Tawheed, are the minority, a very small minority. And Allah knows best. So the Shaykh, he begins, now we're going back again to the English translation on the top of page 18. This topic begins on the top of page 18, the English translation. And it goes to, yani we're going to go to 22 or so, I don't know, Allahu A'lam, according to the time. Time between Maghrib and Isha is very short. But in Arabic, we're going to read from the top of page 11, and maybe a couple of pages, 12, 13, I'm not really sure how far. In Arabic, page 11, on the top of the page. The Shaykh begins, ثانياً طريقة أهل السنة والجماعة في عبادة الله. يعني the way, the road of أهل السنة والجماعة concerning the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very simply, the Shaykh, he mentions طريقتهم أنهم يعبدون الله لله وبالله وفي الله. These are the three things that the Shaykh said that are essential, critical for the worship of Allah. Tariqatuhum, yani the way of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, is that they worship Allah with three considerations. Lillahi, for Allah alone, wa billahi, and with the help of Allah alone, wa fillahi, and in accordance with yani the deen of Allah, the sharia of Allah. And then he explains each of these points. Lillahi, wa billahi, wa fillahi. Amma qawnuhum يعبدون الله لله. The meaning of their worshipping Allah, يعني لله, for Allah alone. فمعنى ذلك الإخلاص. What is meant by that? لله means worshipping Allah with إخلاص. يعني with sincerity, meaning, يعني worshipping Allah alone. Worshipping Allah for the sake of Allah, not for any other reason, with إخلاص. يخلصون لله عز وجل. يعني meaning that they worship, they make it purely for Allah alone, for the pleasure of Allah, for the face of Allah alone, Azza wa Jalla. Then the Shaykh makes some points. Okay, each of these points are further clarification of what he means by ikhlas. لا يريدون بعبادتهم إلا ربهم. Yani, they don't intend by their worship except their Rabb. Yani, they are only seeking, their intent is to seek the pleasure of their Rabb alone. لا يريدون بعبادتهم إلا رب. They don't want anything else by it except to reach their Rabb. لا يتقربون إلى أحد سواه. And they are not seeking to get near to anyone besides him. Yani, they don't intend anything by their worship except that they're doing it for their Rabb. And they don't desire to get near by their worship to anyone besides him. Meaning they're not doing it to show some yani good look so that they can get near to somebody else. or to something in the creation. Rather, they only want to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not trying to get near to the boss or to the rich person or to the leader or to the sheikh or somebody. Rather, لَا تَقَرَّبُونَ. They are not seeking to get near by their worship to anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he quotes from the Quran, Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 57th Ayat, يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ الْوَسِيلَ. Yani that they are seeking a wasila, a means, yani of nearness to the Rabb. And the tafsir of this ayah requires some time, and we have a little bit of time today, but in any case, it is important to go back and try to look at the tafsir to understand the context of what the Shaykh is saying here. يَبْتَغُونَ, yani that the things that the people worship, whether prophets or angels or saints or whatever, that the people worshipped, yani in their shirk with Allah, they themselves, the prophets and the angels and the ones that they worship, they themselves are seeking nearness to their Rabb. They're seeking a wasila, a means of nearness. If they themselves are seeking a means of nearness, then what should the people then be doing? Also, likewise, seeking a means of nearness. يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ الْوَسِيلَ. They're seeking a wasila, a means of nearness to their Rabb. أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبْ. Which of them will be, yani, nearest to him? يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ. That they are only hoping for the rahmah of their Rabb. Yani the prophets, yani Isa alayhi salam, prophet of Allah, the Christians are worshipping him. He himself is hoping for the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He himself is fearing the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh is saying here, yani that what all that we should be intending, all that we should be seeking is the means of nearness by good deeds, by acts of worship, by obedience. We should only be seeking nearness to our Rabb. Then the Shaykh says, further points, clarification of what's ikhlas. مَا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ لِأَنَّ فُلَانًا يَرَاهُمْ. They do not worship Allah because so-and-so sees them, because somebody is looking at them. They are not doing it for that reason. Yani, showing off, ostentation, riya. وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ لِأَنَّهُمْ يُعَظَّمُونَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Nor do they worship Allah because then, yani, by their worship, the people will glorify them. The people will look at them as being great. They don't do it for that reason. وَلَا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ لِأَنَّهُمْ يُلَقَّبُونَ بِلَقَبِ الْعَابِدِ. Nor do they worship Allah so that they will be given the title or a name like he's an abid. Yani he's, mashallah, he's really a worshipper. This one here. Yani the Shaykh here is showing us, yani what are the reasons why we should be worshipping Allah and what are the reasons why we should not be worshipping Allah. And he's just giving examples, actually. But there are many more things that could be said. This is a brief presentation concerning the subject of ibadah. And first, the first point is that we worship Allah, lillahi, yani for Allah alone, with ikhlas. We are not intending our worship other than our Rabb. We're not seeking to get near to anyone besides him. We're not doing it so that people see us, or people that could praise us, or any other reason. Rather, the Shaykh says what? لَكِنْ يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ لِلَّهِ. Rather, they are only worshipping Allah for his sake alone. And this can't be emphasized enough. Rather, yani not one class can be given on this topic, but one whole course. We can go for months talking about yani the ikhlas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we're all familiar with, but it is something that we need to go back and review and reflect upon and try to yani delve into a little bit. The importance of al-ikhlas, sincerity. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. That indeed actions will be judged exclusively by intentions, the intention being purely for Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second point, yani billahi. Wa amma kawnuhum ya'buduna Allah billahi ay musta'inina bihi. Yani the meaning of their worshipping Allah billahi, it means that they are seeking help from him in their worship of him. Yani they're worshipping Allah for his sake alone. And then secondly, they are yani worshipping Allah seeking help from him. Seeking help from him. لَا يُمْكِنْ يَعْنِي أَنْ يَفْخَرُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. They know that they cannot be proud of themselves. Yani a person who is doing some worship and they are looking at themselves like, I'm doing a lot. Okay, they are not proud of themselves. They know that they are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوْ أَنْ يَرَوْا أَنَّهُمْ مُسْتَقِلُّونَ بِإِبَادَتِهِمْ عَنِ اللَّهِ. Nor do they consider or think or imagine that they are independent of Allah in their worship. That they are not in need of Allah. Rather, they want to worship Allah alone, and they know that they cannot do it except with help from Him. Except with help from Him. بَلْهُمْ, the Shaykh says, بَلْهُمْ مُحَقِّقُونَ لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. سورة الفاتحة آية 5, 5th آية. بل هم محققون, rather they are those who are intending, striving, attempting, working hard to what? To realize the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you alone do we worship and you alone we seek help from. Yani this is the intent. Yani إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The Shaykh says إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ means يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهِ لِلَّهِ. The first point, that they are worshipping Allah for Allah's sake alone with ikhlas. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ بِاللَّهِ. Yani the meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ is the first point. Yani worshipping Allah لِلَّهِ. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ worshipping Allah يعني بِاللَّهِ. Worshipping Allah with help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are seeking His help, yarhamukallah, in their worship of Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. They're seeking His help in their worship of Him. Now this reminds us of what the Shaykh said, yani in the previous book that we're reading from, the Manhaj al-Yawmi, the Talib al-Ilm. Yani the Shaykh said in that book, concerning this particular point, he said that they are, yani that the fourth point of the Manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fourth point, he said what? أن تكون مخلصاً. أن يكون مخلصاً له جل وعلا في عباداتهم. That they be sincere in their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. متوكلاً عليه في جميع أحوالهم. يعني, and they are dependent upon Allah in every situation and circumstance, the Shaykh said, يعني لتحقق بذلك مقام إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. Same thing the Shaykh is saying that he's saying here, but in a different way. Showing us, right, the importance of going back to this particular principle. And the principle is what? That this ayat in the Quran is giving us a, yani, a core formula in Islam for success. And that is that we have to worship Allah alone. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. But we cannot be successful in worshiping Allah alone except with help from Him. And that's why we say every single day, and in every rak'ah of every prayer, every time we recite al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Yani, O Allah, You alone we worship, and You alone we seek help, yani, in being successful in worshipping You. And some of the scholars said that in this ayat, there is the greatest goal, the greatest objective of the Muslim, and the greatest means to achieving it. The greatest objective is what? The most noble objective is the worshipping of Allah alone. Worshipping Allah alone. And the means to achieve it is seeking help, isti'an, seeking help from Him in order to do it. And this is followed by the greatest supplication in the Quran. And that is, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, al-hidayah. This is in Surah Al-Fatiha. Anyway, back to what the Shaykh said here. He said, so the second one is, yani, they're worshipping Allah, seeking help from Him. مُسْتَعِينِينَ بِهِ. So they are seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their worship of Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Third, وَأَمَّا قَوْنُهُمْ يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ فِي اللَّهِ. As far as they're worshipping Allah فِي اللَّهِ, what does it mean in فِي اللَّهِ? فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Yani, in the deen of Allah. Yani, upon the deen of Allah. فِي الدِّينَ الَّذِي شَرَعَهُ. Yani, should be شَرَعَهُ. Yani, there's a misspelling here. الَّذِي شَرَعَهُ عَلَى أَلْسِنَةِ رُسُلِهِ. Yani, the meaning of they're worshipping Allah, fillahi, means in the deen of Allah. The deen which Allah has legislated upon the tongues of His messengers. وَهُمْ وَأَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. And they, وَأَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, who are they? رُسُلُهُ. They, the messengers, وَأَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, and the أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, yani, فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, in this ummah, يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ بِمَا شَرَعَهُ عَلَى لِسَانِ رَسُولِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the third point is that they're worshipping Allah in Allah means in the deen of Allah, upon the deen of Allah, the deen which He has legislated upon the tongue of the messengers, and they, the messengers, all the prophets and messengers, عليهم السلام, and along with the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah and this ummah, yani is with the prophets and messengers, in that they worship Allah with that which He has legislated upon the tongue of His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here I just want to mention the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani from Aisha radiallahu anha, it's in Bukhari and Muslim, in one narration in Muslim, yani, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fuhu raddun. Yani this hadith is a critical hadith, yani where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported from Aisha that he said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa raddun." Whoever invents something new in this deen of ours, because we're talking about the point of what? Worshipping Allah, fillah, fi deenillah, according to the sharia of Allah. So whoever brings something new into this matter of ours, into the deen of Islam, yani that's not from it, فَهُوَ رَدٌّ يَعْنِي مَرْدُودٌ. That means it will be rejected. In the narration of Imam Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرِنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا. Not who invents something, but anyone, even if they didn't invent it, whoever acted upon it, an affair that's not from our deen, فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. It will be rejected. This is a clear statement of the danger of trying to worship Allah with other than what He legislated. Yani it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. At least if a person was doing push-ups, they might get some physical benefit. But that worship that they're doing, there's no benefit in it whatsoever. Rather, it will be against them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because, yani, innovating in the deen of Allah is sinful. It's serious sinfulness. فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. It is definitely rejected. The Shaykh, he says, as far as this third point, worshipping Allah, فِي اللَّهِ لا يزيدون فيه ولا ينقصون منه. They do not increase, yani add anything to the deen of Allah, nor do they take anything from it. They don't add anything extra. What came to us is what it is. Nor do they omit, delete, throw away, get rid of anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us in this deen, whether it came in the Quran or in the authentic narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَهُمْ يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ فِي اللَّهِ فِي شَرِيعَتِهِ فِي دِينِهِ. Yani therefore they, the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they're worshipping Allah فِي اللَّهِ, yani in his, according to His Sharia, according to the deen that He has revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَا يَخْرُجُونَ عَنْهُ. They don't go outside of it. They don't go transgress beyond the bounds. They don't go outside of the deen of Allah looking for some benefit, some guidance, some wisdom in the sayings of the thinkers, the intellectuals, the philosophers, the whoever that the people are listening to. What the motivational speakers, or I don't know whatever other kind of classes of people that yani people are following. And even Muslims are following some of that. But we don't go outside of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا زيادة ولا نقصانا. Yani we don't add anything to the deen of Allah, nor do we take anything from it. لذلك كانت عبادتهم هي العبادة الحقة السالمة من شوائب الشرك والبدعة. And it is for this reason, because of what? Worshipping Allah for the sake of Allah alone, seeking help from Him, according to His Sharia, that which He has revealed. For this reason, their ibadah, the ibadah of Ahl Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, is ibadah al-haqqa, is the true ibadah, the true ibadah. As-salima, that is free from the defects, the flaws, yani of shirk and bid'ah, of associating anything with Allah and innovating anything in the deen of Allah. It is free from this. Because why? Why is it free from this? Because they're sticking to the sharia of Allah. They're not adding anything to it. They're not taking anything from it. They're not going transgressing beyond the bounds. They're sticking to it within the limits of what Allah has legislated. For that reason, their ibadah is the true ibadah. It's the ibadah that's free from shirk and free from bid'ah, the Shaykh says. And this is so, لِأَنَّ مَنْ قَصَدَ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ بِعِبَادَتِهِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ بِهِ. مَنْ قَصَدَ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ. Whoever intends other than Allah by their worship, they have some other intention, فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ بِهِ. Then they have made something as an associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ تَعَبَّدَ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ شَرِيَتِهِ فَقَدْ اِبْتَدَعَ فِي دِينِهِ. And whoever worships Allah, but with other than the sharia of Allah, then this person has innovated in his deen. Two things the Shaykh said. Whoever, yani intends, who seeks with their worship other than Allah, then they have committed shirk. Whoever worships Allah, but with other than what he has legislated, they have fallen into bid'ah. These are the two areas, the two horrible things that the person will fall into. Shirk, which invalidates your deen, and bid'ah, which, yani, usually the people don't repent from, they don't recover from, because they don't think they're even doing anything bad. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Bayyinah, 98th Surah, 5th Ayat, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء يقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and that they were not commanded with anything except to worship Allah alone, مخلصين له الدين, making the deen purely for Allah alone, حنفاء, and being upright, meaning upon the straight way, the tawheed, and establishing the salat and giving the zakat, and that is the deen al-qayyimah, the upright deen. Yani doing it, making the deen purely for Allah alone, yani according to what He has legislated in the salat and the zakat and the ibadah, that is the upright deen. Then the Shaykh says, فَعِبَادَتُهُمْ لِلَّهِ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ لَا يَبْتَدِعُونَ مَا تَسْتَحْسِنُهُ أَحْوَاؤُهُمْ. So their worship for Allah, yani sincerely for the sake of Allah with ikhlas, in the deen of Allah, according to the sharia of Allah, لَا يَبْتَدِعُونَ, they do not make any innovation according to what their ahwa, their desires, considered to be good. Their desires made this seem good to them. Yani they followed their desires, which made them think that this is something good. They don't do this. The Shaykh said, لَا أَقُولُ مَا تَسْتَحْسِنُهُ أُقُولُهُمْ. I am not saying that it is their mind, their intellect, that made this seem good to them. No. He's saying it is their desires, their ahwa, that caused them to make this seem good to them, not their intellect. لأن العقول الصحيحة لا تستحسنوا الخروج عن شريعة الله. Because the intellect, the minds which are sound, do not ever make yani going outside of the sharia of Allah seem good. If the mind is intact, it will never tell you that going outside of the deen of Allah is good. That doesn't make any sense at all. It's not logical. Unless the person's mind is corrupted, distorted, polluted. But the sound mind will never cause you to think that going outside of what Allah has legislated is good. So the Shaykh is saying here what? That it is their ahwa, their desires, following their desires, that cause them to think that their innovations are something good. And the Shaykh said, the sound mind will never cause a person to think that going outside of the sharia of Allah is good. لِأَنَّ لُزُومْ شَرِيَةِ اللَّهِ مُحْتَضَى الْعَقْلِ, should be al-aql al-sahih, not sari' al-sahih. Yani because sticking to the sharia of Allah, sticking to the sharia of Allah. And I have to note here, I was looking at the translation of the book, and the way this has been translated is absolutely wrong. So just pay attention, like forget about what they wrote in the book. The sticking to the sharia of Allah. So the Shaykh is saying here, and after mentioning these three elements and why, yani sticking to these things, especially sticking to the sharia of Allah, yani leads a person to worshipping Allah in the way that is true and correct and right, and that this prevents them from falling into shirk and prevents them from falling into bid'ah. The Shaykh said, so their ibadah, yani for Allah and according to the deen of Allah, yani prevents them, yani doesn't allow them to innovate yani anything into the deen of Allah according to what their desires might lead them to follow. And then he says that because, he's saying, I'm not saying that it is the uqul, because the intellect, the mind that is sound, will never lead a person to think that going outside of Allah's deen, yani this is something to think about. Actually, if anybody has had discussions with the people of innovation, the people who are really upon yani clear innovation, whose deen is infested, is polluted with innovation, if anybody has had discussion with these people in some of the countries, maybe not so much here in America, but it's here, it's widespread in America, yes. But I mean in some other countries, I've been to yani India and Pakistan and some of the Arab countries, yani we'll see that the people who are infested with this innovation, they actually somehow believe that what they're doing is really good. They're adamant about it. And they're firm upon it. And they will argue with you. They might even fight you and harm you physically if they could about it. I've also been in Africa too. I don't want to leave out Africa, right? I've been to Sudan. That's in Africa, right? Subhanallah. I'm sorry to stop here, but it is important for us to realize that how people do, yani they have been deceived. Instead of following the sharia of Allah, they follow their desires. They want to do this the way that they are doing it. And they don't really care about the evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. and how difficult it is to reach these people. And therefore, for that reason, we have to understand, we have to comprehend, yani, where they are coming from, yani, what has caused them to go astray, and how can we reach them, yani, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Because some people can be reached, people who are upon deviation. I know one brother who was upon deviation for 30 years. And then he came to the Sunnah, the pure Sunnah, trying to really study and learn the Quran and Sunnah and follow the way of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah. After 30 years. And this young man here met him. Our brother Mahfouz.
Oh, wow.
SubhanAllah. And that brother told me, I got it. I got it, now I understand. I got it. And then he started reading the books of the scholars of Sunnah. And then he became the imam of the people where he was at. The people selected him to be the imam, though he never wanted to be an imam. And he told me, like, what's happening here? I don't want to be the imam. I said, but the people, they selected you to be the imam because they saw something in you. A person who was 30 years upon deviation, a Shiite, and he became a person from the people of Sunnah. That means that people who are upon deviation can be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's our job to try to reach those people. But you can't do it with ignorance. You have to know what is the deviation, how does it work, and how do we respond to it? How do we clarify it? How do we refute it? And the Shaykh here, he begins to explain to us, even though I know we don't have any time. But anyway, a little bit of what he said after this. He said that sticking to the Sharia is what the sound mind necessitates. It requires of you to stick. If your mind is not polluted, if your mind is not polluted, corrupted, distorted. ولهذا كان الله سبحانه وتعالى ينعي على المكذبين لرسله وقولهم. That Allah has criticized. Allah has criticized the uqul, the minds of the people who denied His messengers. Yani, their minds were polluted, their minds were corrupted, because the sound mind will never lead you to that kind of corruption. ويقول, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yani, concerning them, بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 63rd Ayah. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Yani, most of them don't have sense. Their intellect is gone. They don't have intellect. Their intellect is polluted, corrupted, destroyed. وَلَوْ كُنَّا نَتَعَبَّدُ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَحْوَاهُ نُفُوسَنَا وَعَلَى حَسَبْ أَحْوَائِنَا لَكُنَّا فِرَقًا وَشِيعًا. That if we were worshipping Allah with that which our tahwa, yani tahwa nufusana, that which our nafs, our souls, yani desired, وَعَلَى حَسَبْ أَهْوَائِنَا, in accordance with our own desires, if we were worshipping Allah like that, then we would definitely be firaq وَشِيعًا. Yani, we would be divided into parties and sects. And here, what is intended is not Shiites, the Shiites, but really parties and sects. We will then become divided into parties and sects if we follow our desires. Every one of them, yani, considering to be good what he desires. So then he will worship Allah with that which he desires. And in that way, وَهِنَا إِذًا لَا تَحَقَّقُوا فِينَا وَصْفَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي قَوْلِهِ وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23rd Surah, 52nd Ayah. And in that case, if we were to do that, follow our desires, and every person will consider good that which he desires, and he worships Allah with that which he desires, in that case, we will not realize, يعني لا يتحققوا فينا, يعني will not be realized in us, the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. That indeed, this, your ummah is one ummah. This description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the Muslims with, it will not be a description that is realized in the Muslims if we just follow our desires and worship Allah accordingly. Ibn Kathir says, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ يَعْنِي دِينُكُمْ. Your deen is ummah wahida, يعني الدعوة إلى الله, إلى التوحيد. Yani, that your deen is one deen. That deen is the call to tawheed. Yani, this is the summary of what he said. And then I'm going to just close with this point. Next week we'll come back here. Yani, just to kind of couple it together with what the Shaykh said before. وَلْنَنْظُرْ إلى هؤلاء الذين يتعبدون الله بالبدع التي ما أذن الله بها ولا أنزل بها من سلطان. يعني let us take a look at those who are worshipping Allah based upon their innovations which Allah has not given any permission for, nor has He sent down any authority for these innovations. Let's take a look at these people who are worshipping Allah according to innovations. كيف كانوا فرقا. Look at how they became into sects and parties, firaq. يكفر بعضهم بعض. Some of them are declaring others from amongst them, are declaring them to be kuffar. And some of them are declaring some others of them to be fasiq, يعني disobedient ones. وهم يقولون إنهم مسلمون. While they are saying that they are Muslims. يعني some of them are declaring, the people of deviation, some of the deviants declaring other deviants to be kafirs. And some of them declaring some of them to be fusaq. While they're saying that we are all Muslims. Here I want us to look at ourselves, that we don't fall into this. That also we might fall into what? Declaring some people who are upon the sunnah, who we might have a difference of opinion about some matter with, and we declare this person is a fasiq. This person is a fajir. This person is a yani mubtadi'. Be careful from this. This is the way of the people of deviation. At-takfir, wa-tafsiq, wa-tabdi'. This is the way of the people of deviation. That's what the Shaykh is saying here. That all of them are saying they're Muslims, but some of them declare others to be this, that, and the other. Be careful from this. That a person who's upon the sunnah, you have a difference with them, doesn't mean that he's yani now mubtadi'ah, because he differs with you on some matter. That maybe you are right on, maybe. Maybe you are not right on. But even if you are, doesn't mean that you immediately, when you differ, that you start saying these people are deviant, these people are astray, the sheikh lost his mind, he's off the path. We don't even call him a sheikh anymore. Now he's just, yani, whatever. By the names that we call people that have no respect whatsoever. This is a dangerous affair. So let's look at these people, how what they have fallen into, and yet they are all saying that they are all Muslims, and we are all saying that we are all Ahl Sunnah. لَقَدْ كُفِّرُ بَعْدُ النَّاسِ. Some of the people were declared to be kafirs by some affairs that doesn't take a person, yani, doesn't lead a person to kufr. Yani, doesn't justify calling this person a kafir. وَلَكِنْ الْهَوَى أَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. But it is the desires, the hawa, which caused them to be, yani, deaf, and caused them to be blind. And then I'm going to close with the Shaykh saying here, نَحْنُ نَقُولُ إِنَّنَا إِذَا سِرْنَا عَلَى هَذَا الْخَطِ لَا نَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّنَا سَوْفَ نَكُونُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَعَبَدْنَا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِشَرَعِهِ وَهُدَاهُ لَا بِهَوَانَا لَكُنَّا أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَالشَّرِيَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْهُدَى وَلَيْسَتْ الْهَوَى. And the Shaykh says, we say that indeed, if we were to travel upon this path, هذا الخط, سرنا على هذا الخط, not worshipping Allah except in accordance with the deen of Allah, فَإِنَّنَا سَوْفَ نَكُونُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا, then indeed, definitely, certainly, we will soon become one ummah. And this is also a point of note. The Shaykh is saying, فَإِنَّنَا, definitely, certainly, we'll become one ummah. If we travel upon this path of not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except in accordance with the deen of Allah, then we will indeed be one ummah. If we worship Allah the Most High according to His Sharia and His guidance, not by our desires, then we will be one ummah. Because indeed the Sharia of Allah, it is al-huda, it is guidance, and it is not al-hawa, desires. I'm going to stop here, because the time is up, yani, for the Iqamah now. Tayyib. We're going to stop here. Next week, inshallah, we'll come back to this last point, yani, and then we'll proceed from there. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Any questions that we didn't reach after question number 7, inshallah, we'll add them to the study guide for next week.